Today's Mishnah in Masechet Pe'ah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Hey. Now we're getting on to another question. The question is, normally, if you have two fields, even if they're absolutely contiguous, and there's no line, there's no fence, there's nothing between them, but they're owned by two different people, the different ownership changes the din of the peah. Each kitzircha and each sadircha is considered to be separate, and because of that, it's all one peah. If, on the other hand, it's owned by a partnership of two people, so then it would be considered to be one. Now, how about in a case where you have a father who dies, leaving one field to two sons, and then these two sons, they're mechalik in terms of the ownership, the legal ownership, so they inherited it, and then they did a chalukah. That is enough to establish that it's a separate field. Each field is different, even though it was originally one field, and even though it's still physically one field. The point is that if it's legal ownership, and it's a separate legal ownership, that is enough to be mechayev to peyot. And obviously, this is true to any case, even brothers. In other words, if you had originally you had a partnership and you dissolve the partnership by giving each person a share, obviously it's going to be true, not only the case of the brothers. It's mistaver that the Mishnah brings up the case of the brothers because it was originally one field before they even got involved. You might think maybe it continues since it was a state of the bayit originally. Kamashmon, that makes no difference, but it certainly is not specifically in that case. And therefore, if they were chazru v'nishtatfu, and they make themselves once again a new partnership, and they make that before the ketzira, so in other words, the field was already full of grain. They had dissolved their partnership, or had completed the working out the details of the will, and they had separated. And then before the time of peah comes, they reestablish their partnership, whether we're talking about brothers or whether we're talking about partnership, or for that matter, whether we're talking about two strangers who were never together in the ownership and establishing a new ownership. But the point is that you don't need the growth of the field to be a partnership. All you need is bikutzrechem et ketzir artzechem. And that means at the time of the Katzir, if you've got this partnership, Lashon Rabin, it would be one field. And it's defined by that moment. It doesn't really matter what happened before. And because of that, notim peah achat, as long as at the time of the Katzira, it's considered to be, and that's the Katzira is the point that the Torah seems to care about. So if at the point of the Katzira, you've got a partnership, that is one field. Shnayim shulakuta ilan. Now, what about in the case of a tree? You've got two people, and they go into partnership in the ownership of a tree. So then, notnin pe'ah achat, the same thing is true.
It's a single tree? Just one tree?
Yes. So we're going to see the shear of pe'ah. If even one tree, as we're going to see, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're going to see in the next Mishnah, even one stalk, one stalk of grain, if it can be separated into different katsiras, because I can pick this grain off of it, and I can pick that grain off of it, so even that would be considered to be a field, legabi peah. And we'll see, we're going to be discussing this. So in this case, they are shutfim, and it's all considered to be one thing, and therefore they give only one peah. But suppose they define the area of the tree that the partner's in. One takes the northern half, and one takes the southern half, say. So, lokach zet zifono vezet romo, it's exactly the same situation. Zenotein peah la'atzmo, zenotein peah la'atzmo. So that means that they're not really shutfim in the whole tree. They are simply the same as people who separated a field. So it seems to be exactly the same. Now, the question is, why over here did we not talk about the same case, about Achim Shechoku. So that's an interesting thing. I mean, it could be very simply. You'd say that the case of the Achim Shechoku is to tell me the chiddush of the idea of even if they're Achim. And maybe this is coming to tell me that even if there's no relationship, and that the same thing applies, you shouldn't think that it's specifically a din in Achim, which is, okay, that the Rush actually is medayik from here, that you wouldn't have said that halacha if it really were a tree, and that basically, if it would have come to Yorshim, then you couldn't have said that same halacha, because Yorshim, who separate a single tree between themselves, don't actually need to leave shtei peot. That is like a very idiosyncratic shita, but that's what the Rosh says. So in any event, it would be the same, and zenotein pe'alatzmo, v'zenotein pe'alatzmo. Now, how about if your mocher kilche ilan betoch sadeyo? Now, there's a big machlokas about what it means when it says kilche ilan, because basically, some learn the idea is kelach as the lashon of the pasuk of yonek. And so we do find, actually, a lashon of Yanika in two places, both in Eov and Yeshayahu, that we use the word kelach. So Beitaina, according to that, it would mean sprouts, meaning young trees. But okay, that's the Rambam learns that kilchei ilan actually mean parts of a root that you're able to eat, which is a completely, completely different shita. And I don't know. It's very difficult to know precisely what the Rambam in the Yad is referring to, but he seems to be talking about a case where there are pieces, kilche, different parts of a tree, because he translates it into a sada. So different parts of a sada people buy as separate fields. Okay, let's take the simplest approach then, and we'll call it kilche ilan, the way that it would mean they're like little sprouting trees. So now, what would be the din of those trees? So you'd have to take pea mikol echad v'echad. Now, I must tell you that the Mishnah leaves out a very important element of the question, and that is, does he own the ground or does he only own the trees? Because it's not clear that if you own a tree and you don't own the ground that the tree is on, that this would be considered to be bekutzrachem es ketzir artzachem, because you don't own it. It's only a tree. And it turns out that that's a big machlokas, which the Mishnah here seems to leave unaddressed with law. So since you only own, maybe you own the area under the tree, like we'll see later on, the amount of land that you'd have to own in order for it to be considered to be your field. But the case over here is, since all of these kilchei ilan were separate, so then each one is a separate field, because the buyer never had that single field. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, but when is that true? Bizman shelo shi'er ba'al ha-sadeh. Aval im shi'er ba'al ha-sadeh, hu noten pe'al ha-kol. If he left trees for himself in that field, he's the one that's got to leave the peah for the whole thing. Now, this is a big stira to the halacha that we had before. Because in Perek Beis, remember we said, in Perek Beis in Mishnah Chet, we said over there that if a person first, he did his own getzira, and then he sold whatever was left. So we said over there, the buyer is the one that has to take off the peah, if you recall, for the entire field. Because he took for granted that if he bought the rest, he understood that the guy had already started doing a ketzira, which meant that the chiyuv was going to be at the end. So he understood that that meant that out of what it is that he buys, he's going to have to be taking off the payoff for the whole thing. And here, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying just the opposite, that if there was anything that was left to the Baal HaSadeh, that he's the one that has to give it. But remember, there he did not own anything. The seller did not own anything of the field at the end. And that's the whole point that Rav Yehuda is making, that ain't a finami. In that case, if he had kept some of the sudda for himself, so why would the buyer assume that the chiyuv of the peya is on him? He would have assumed that the owner, who had already started the katsira, he was the one that was going to take over. And therefore, it's no stira at all with that Mishnah. Actually, this Mishnah clarifies the status of that Mishnah. So when are we talking about all of this? Ematai? That's only where Loshir Baal Hasadeh. He sold all of the trees. He didn't leave any tree that was not harvested yet for himself. But if he didn't sell all of the trees, then he is the one that is going to be chayev. This is talking about where he already began the ketzira, obviously. He already began picking the trees. Because if he didn't begin picking the trees while they were his, and therefore they're all part of the same sadeh, and he's going to be giving peya efrad al hakol, so why would he be the one that's chayev? The ketzira he never did. So obviously we're taking for granted that Rav Yehuda is discussing a case where the ketzira began and he now sells it. And the reason that it's different from the case that we had back in Perek Beit is because he left the tree for himself. Okay, Rabosai, that I think is pretty clear. And fortunately, we run out of time, and we also have a handy hand, which requires dealing with here.
So the question is, why does Rabbi Yehuda talk about these Kilchei Ilan? Wouldn't it be true of Ilanot, regular Ilanot?
I don't know. In other words, it could be that there's a remez there to the question of, because remember, normally, once you buy Ilanot, then depending on how close they are to each other, if you bought three, you automatically own the land in between. That's what I assumed, is that in order to avoid that issue and not to have it be a question of a single field, so we talk about kelachim that are do not yet, according to those who learn that kelachim mean. But I don't know that anybody says it, but that was my assumption, that this is further avoidance of the ownership of the ground issue. Okay, Rabotzai, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you once again, b'schus ad limatera b'ezrat Hashem. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Emat naschinam, it should be that we should be zeicha to learn again. And then we'll see you tomorrow, and hopefully do some more of these Mishnayos. Meanwhile, wishing you a wonderful day, and b'surah tova, kol tov.